Okay, we are on now. Sota Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, the third line. We have this Machlokes, Rav Yoshia, and I believe it's Rav Yonah's son, if I'm not mistaken. The question is, which ladies were excluded from drinking the Sota water? And our Mishnah said that both an arusa, a woman who has only received a kiddushin but has not had an nisuin, is not living with her husband, she's excluded from drinking, and since she's excluded from drinking, but she's included that the husband, that the fiance can be jealous of her and warn her, and therefore put her in a state of question, but she's excluded from drinking, and therefore she's going to lose her ksuva. And as well, a shomeres yavam, a woman that's supposed to fall to yibum, if she's warned by the potential yavam, she's put in a state where her fidelity is put in question, but she's not able to drink, and therefore she doesn't get a ksuva. That's our Mishnah. And that Mishnah, we said, was like, I hope I remember the name, Rav Yonah's son, if I think I correctly remember his name. And the reason why, there were two exclusionary psukim. It says isha and isheich, somebody under a husband's dominion, which she's not under in those two cases, and that's why she's excluded. Well, on the other hand, Rav Oshaya says we only exclude who? We exclude the engaged woman. She's the one who's excluded from one of the isheichs. But the woman who is Shomeres Yavam is not excluded. And there were different interpretations, why it's what's included from, etc., etc. But that's how we conclude the Machlokas. They both agree that the woman who's engaged is excluded, and therefore she can't drink, and she goes without a get. While there's a machlokas about the Shomeres Yavam, Rav Yonason says she's excluded, she can't drink, and she doesn't get a ksuva. While Rav Shaya says, no, she could drink, because she is considered closer to his domain, and is not excluded from the word Yisheich. That's where we're up to this point. The Gemara now is going to ask an overall question on both of these rabbis. They're going to say, wait a minute, you're telling me, well, what if we didn't have those words Isha or Yisheich? If we didn't have them, then we couldn't exclude them. And then they could drink. It seems only because we got this word, Isha, her husband. Oh, and since it's not her husband, one exclusion, then Isheich, again, her husband, and another exclusion. Question, two, both excluded, one excluded, but it's got to come from an exclusionary clause, seeming to say if there was no exclusionary clause, then they'd have to get married, then they could drink. Gemara says, hold on there. You guys are forgetting a whole different reason why they could be excluded anyway without these words, Yisheich. Why are you coming onto the word Yisheich under your husband's domain? There's a whole separate reason why they should be excluded. Let me give you the basic point, and then we'll see it inside. The Torah is going to use certain words to say that the problem she has is she could have been lying carnally with a man after she has been living with her husband. We'll see that in a minute. The person's going to say that. That's the problem. You've been living with your husband. Now you're living with another man after living with your husband. And from here we learn the only way the sota applies is if you were living with your husband and now you've lived with another man on top of living with your husband. But what if you haven't been living with your husband, period? Now what would that be? Let's say the case of an arusa. You haven't been sleeping with your husband yet. What a case of a Shomeres Yavam. You haven't been sleeping with your brother-in-law yet. So we'll see in a minute, the way it's worded, the psukim say that the problem is she was living with this other man after living with her husband. So it seems only after you reach the stage of after living with your husband, that's when there's a problem. But if you haven't lived with the man yet, then there's nothing to talk about the man. So what are we saying? We have to come on to these exclusionary clauses, even without an exclusionary clause. That's the issue at hand. So what are you talking about? Now I'm going to read it inside. Mara asks, according to both, again, Rabbi Hoshaya and Rabbi Yonason, both required a verse under your husband or under her husband to exclude an arusa from the procedure of drinking the waters. They both exclude at least an arusa, right? And Rabbi Yonah's son also excludes the Shomeris Yavam. So Gemara says, so what do you tell me? Ella time, the reason why an arusa, the engaged woman, doesn't drink the waters, dichsiva hanakrei, because we have these verses. Okay, but they both agree to an arusa. Holav hach, would appear without this exclusionary verse. Hava mina, I would have thought. Arusa shasya. The arusa, according to both of them agree an arusa is excluded. And they both learn it from an exclusionary verse. So then I guess if he didn't have the exclusionary verse, I guess she would drink. That's what they seem to be saying, their logic. But that cannot be. But kiyosa Rabbi Acha bar Chanina midaroma, when Rabbi Acha, the son of Chanina, came up from the south. What do you mean the south? It seems that he was born in the city of Lod, not Lod you're thinking of, airport, but Lod in Judah, Yehuda. Yehuda, that's near Yerushalayim area, where he studied under Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Thus, the Gemara statement that he came from the south apparently means that he came from Yehuda to the in the south to the Galil in the north. All right, so that's... Anyway, so he came from the southern part of Israel to the northern part of Israel, and he comes and brings us a statement. Also, he came, the icy, bringing with him, Masni Sibiyada, Brisa in his hand, as it were. He taught us the following Brisa. The Pasuk says the following when it talks about the Sota woman. It uses the words Mi Baladei Ishech. And a man other than your husband has lain with you. Now what is that? That's the suspicion. A man other than your husband has lain with you. So now what is that saying? What does it mean other than your husband has lain with you? Why doesn't it just say another man has lain with you? Just say another man has lain with you. I mean, obviously, other than your husband, who else is it other than? What? Another man has lain with you other than the postman? It's like, well, of course, it's dealing with. So you hear the extra word? Why does it say other than your husband? Let's look at the pasuk inside to appreciate this a little better. 520, where am I? Sometimes the free apps are the best. The other one I spent $19 on, I like this one better. This one I think is a free app. It's not bad. Okay, look what it says. Chaf. This is part of the coin makes or make an oath. This is the oath. Part of the oath is, on the other hand, if you've been bad, va'at, and if you, ki soti, so you've gone astray, tachas isheich, instead of your husband, v'chineit meis, and you become defiled, v'yitein ish bach es shechaf, a man has lain with you, mi bala de isheich, other than your husband. Right? Now, why do you got to say those last two words? Isn't it enough? It already says, you've got. But if you've gone astray with another instead of your husband, right? You already know it's instead of your husband, right? And a man has lied with you, obviously, with someone other than your husband. Why do you have the last two words? Mi bala dei sheikh, other than your husband. Understand why that's extra? Clear? If you take out those last two words, pretend they don't exist. Are we missing any understanding of what the guy is saying? Listen, have you been sleeping with another man other than your husband? She's married to the guy, right? So why would you have to be saying other than your husband? So that's obviously extra. It's totally extra. Got that? Clear? So the Gemara is going to learn from that totally extra mi baladei sheikh to say only a problem mi shekidma shkivas balabal. In a case where the husband has cohabited with his wife before the potential adulterer. In other words, you're saying, if besides your husband sleeping with you, this other guy's been sleeping with you. That means a prerequisite is you have to have lied with your husband previously to this man. The law, and not shekod mashich vas balabal, but not where the adulterer has proceeded to lie with you before your husband does. You follow? So one of the requirements is for her to have to drink, and you can understand that. It's I think that's not so hard to understand, is that when you've already lived with your husband, there's already been a certain degree of intimacy with the man, and now you're going to have intimacy with another man. Now, that is not a good thing, and that needs real resolution, and you got to have her drink the waters. But if she's never really lied with the man yet, there isn't such terrible violation yet, because he hasn't really been married to her yet. He hasn't slept with her yet. And therefore, there's no drinking under those circumstances. And that's the exclusion. So, hence, how could it have been thought that Arusu has not cohabited with her husband, drinks the bitter waters, and I needed a pasuk to exclude her from the word Isheikh? Wouldn't the exclusion exclude it anyway, because she never was with her husband? By stating a man other than your husband has lain with you, the verse implies that this woman's husband had cohabited with her before the suspected act of adultery. Thus, a woman who had never cohabited with her husband is not subject to the sota procedure at all. There's no procedure. There's nothing, in other words, you can do what you want. You know, life goes on. You want to divorce her? Divorce her. Give her a ksuva, finished. Or you can just forget about the whole thing and just marry her. Okay, that's how far it goes. By definition, an arusa is a woman whose marriage has not been consummated with either kohabeshin or chuppah. Therefore, even if she had committed adultery with this other guy before she made the kedushin, it would not have been preceded by cohabitation with her husband, and thus the water should not be administered. Why then is a special verse required to teach that Arusa does not drink the waters because of a special pasuk? Even without a pasuk, you ready to see from here? She hasn't cohabited with her husband, so there's no procedure. Procedure's not done. I would guess the procedure's not done, and I would imagine, and she goes out without a ksuva. That's what I would imagine.
But he's not her husband.
But betrothed. Betrothed. That's she's mamish prohibited to be with another man.
So what if someone had nisuin or whatever, she was anita and they couldn't consummate the marriage?
It would be the same thing. Wouldn't drink. But I'm imagining you don't drink. That means you don't drink and get out. No ksuva, no nothing.
That doesn't mean it's not a marriage. The marriage could be annulled. Well, now it could be.
It's not annulled. He'd have to give her a get. Yeah. He'd give her a get.
It's not a marriage.
But she has to have a get. There is a relate. There's a connection. So that's a specific exclusion. So then what do we have to come on to other verses to exclude it? This is a general rule. If you haven't cohabited with your wife yet, you don't go through the sota procedure. Finished.
So this is Sam's question, but it says there cohabitation or chuppah, so she
could. Or what? Or what?
Or chuppah. There could have a chuppah.
Okay, or with chuppah.
There could have this.
Okay, so maybe chuppah would be enough. Maybe chuppah would be enough.
So even if they hadn't been together.
Yeah, maybe from that word, maybe chuppah would be enough. And she would still drink. Could be. I guess maybe they could have said chuppah is like cohabitation.
I'm not sure what the Earl Sam said, but just to back up, the
Arusa.
He's not her husband yet. You said she's betrothed to him, but
she is prohibited. But she is prohibited. She's
not her husband yet.
They're not living as man and wife, but after the Erusin, she is prohibited to another man.
I get that.
So that's the issue.
But we talked about the very beginning of the jurisdiction of your husband. So isn't she exempt because he's not her husband yet?
Right. That's from that pasuk of Isheikh, from that exclusion of Isheikh. Now, what if we didn't have that pasuk? What if that rule, we didn't have that pasuk? So it doesn't have to be jurisdiction. Then we think she could drink. But wait a minute, we just said if he hasn't been with her, she never drinks anyway. So what do I need that exclusion? That's the point. That's a great question. I don't need the pasuk at all. So we're going to have to figure out a situation where she's engaged, and yet she won't be excluded from that rule, and only be excluded from Iteich. How would that be? Well, very easy. Amar Rami Bar Chama, I'll give you a situation where an arusa has laid with her husband, where they broke the rules of arusaship. In other words, when you are, after you do the erusin, the husband stays in his house, the girl goes to her house. If you remember way back in when we were learning ksuvis, in the era of Yehuda, they had a big thing of making big meals together, where the husbands and the girl and boy would have big meals together, and there was potential possibility that the husband may not control himself to be able to wait so long? What happens if they got engaged and the wedding's scheduled for a year from now, and the fiancé visits the Kala, and in the moment of passion overcomes him and he lies with her? Now, we're not going to say that's a nice thing, but is this like, will that destroy their engagement? No, not at all. They've advanced things a little further, not in the nicest way. All right, but they're still engaged. They're still engaged. She's still not living as husband and wife. This is a one-off. But she will at least will not be able to exclude her by saying that she lied with another man on top after being with her husband, because she has lied with her husband. So it's possible if she was with him, if the arusa was with the fiance and lied with him carnally. So now we won't exclude her from drinking the waters of Sot if she's with another man, because she was with him. It wasn't proper, but she was. And that's what he says. Mashkach aslo, we can give you a scenario where we need the exclusionary itech under your husband, because she's still not under her husband's domain. An arusa, even if one time she sleeps with a man, she's still not under her husband's domain, because there wasn't the nisuin afterwards. So that's the case. Kigon Shiba Aleha Aris Bavesavia, let's say the Aris, the man, cohabits with her in a promiscuous fashion while she's still in her father's home. Right? That's what it is. He cohabited with her during erasing, when she was still living with her family, not for the sake of consummating the marriage, but for purely promiscuous purposes. They're still gonna have the chup and everything in another 6 months. They just couldn't control himself. Such cohabitation does not affect Nisuim. They're not considered married and living as husband and wife, even though it was a one-off. Accordingly, a verse is needed where an arusa cohabited promiscuously with her arus, and she later violated his warning against secluding herself with another man. It could have been thought that since the husband's cohabitation preceded the adulterers, so they're not excluded for that, she does drink the waters. But the Torah therefore teaches that even in this case she does not drink, since she has not yet entered her husband's jurisdiction. So there's two ways to exclude her from drinking. Number one, if she hasn't cohabited with her husband yet. And the second one, if she's not under his jurisdiction. So that's what they're saying. The reason she's excluded is because she's not under the husband's jurisdiction. But wait a minute, she hasn't cohabited with him. Guess we have to be speaking in a case where even if she has cohabited with him, and you don't knock her out of drinking for that other reason, but we still need the possibility take that she's not under the husband's jurisdiction. So you're right. If she really didn't cohabit with him, we wouldn't need this pasuk. So why is Rabbi Yonas and Rishaya bringing this pasuk? In a case where she did cohabit with her arus, how would we exclude her from drinking then? Only from the word itech, she's still not under his jurisdiction. But you're right, if she never did cohabit with him, we wouldn't need that. But we're trying to pick to exclude any type of arusa, even one that did cohabit with her husband. So therefore, we need the pasuk itech that she's not under his jurisdiction. No, he has to do it for the sake of marriage. That's what it said in the note clearly. They cohabited not for the sake of... If, let's say the chassan says, the arusa says, you know, I can't wait anymore. It's driving me crazy. I want to consummate this marriage to have bia for the sake of marrying you. Then she'd be considered under his domain at that point. It's not proper, but it would be legal. Here, he's just saying, a moment of passion, they just lost control of themselves, and they just did a promiscuous act, but they didn't do it for the sake of doing the consummating the marriage. That's what the note said specifically.
Well,
promiscuously.
But when we learned Kedushin, we didn't specify...
No, yeah, you have to say, it's l'shem, it's for the sake of this. When you have the first time intimacy, you know, you have to, it's for the sake, or either you have chuppah, or for the sake of being living as husband and wife. You have to be able to do that. You have to have that. Then there was erusin. Then there was erusin with bia, but the rabbis discouraged that.
So, yeah, I know they discouraged. So
we're not supposed to do erusin with bia.
Wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities that the woman could have, this is my marriage, and the guy's
It depends how the man starts. It's the man starts to count because he's the one that affects it, makes it happen.
So, yes,
yeah, he has to have it in mind, and it's like not what's in her mind. And certainly you have to have really both of theirs in mind, so half won't work. Okay, so we took care of that. So now we understand the Mishnah and the Braisa that's bringing these psukim of exclusion because she's not in his domain is trying to include a case where even if in the engaged state they were lying together, so they're not excluded for the other reason. Now we have this reason. We're saying, well, wait a minute, we only picked one of the two cases. Rav Yonason excluded also a Shomeris Yavam, right? And why did he do that? He found another exclusionary verse, right? Rabbi Yishaya says we don't exclude a Shomeris Yavam. She does drink. Rabbi Yonason says, no, even the Shomeris Yavam, the woman has to fall to Yibam, she also doesn't drink because we found a second Isheich, a second exclusionary one that says under not under his dominion. Okay, so let's ask the question again. But if he hasn't lied with her, she should be excluded anyway, right? Now, what are you going to answer? But what would you want to answer? You'd like to answer the same thing like the engaged girl. I guess we'll have to say that they lied with each other. Yeah, but what's the difference? When it's a Shomeris Yavam, when you lie together, that is the marriage. That's a special law by Yibum. If she already has a Zika to the brother, once you lie together, you are married, so now she couldn't be excluded anymore from the exclusion of Yishek, because she is under his dominion. You see what the follow-up question is going to say over here? That's all good and well. We've got out of the issue of the Arusa. The Arusa, it's possible. She lied with the fiancé. Now she's not excluded because the other guy lied with her first. So we need a pasuk to say she's still not under his dominion. But according to Rabbi Yonason, who also excludes the Shomeris Yavam, the woman who has to fall to Yibum, and he needed that exclusionary clause of under your husband's dominion. But why don't we say, well, she hasn't lied with him yet. And you can't say the same answer. Well, let's say she did lie with him. Because she did, then she is under his dominion. So now you can't get out of that. So that's Gemara's next question. Gemara now asks, challenging this answer. If you're going to say that's the case, well, let's look at it. The Kavasa, Gabe Shomeris Yavam. Let's look at the parallel case for the woman waiting for Yibum according to Rabbi Yonason. Because Taka, according to the other opinion, she does drink. So we say, and that's Kigon, for example, Shiba Aleha Yavam Beisavi. I guess you're going to have to say that the Yavam is intimate with her before they actually did the marriage. In the case of Yavam, the same problem exists as that raised with the Arusa. Since Yavam has not yet cohabited with the Yavam, why is the special verse need to exclude her from the process of drinking the waters? This law could be derived from Mibala Deichidech, other than your husband, which teaches that the husband's cohabitation must have preceded the adulterers. Therefore, in this case, too, what do we have to say? We must answer the extra verses required where the Yavam cohabited promiscuously before the suspected adultery. That's going to have to say. But that's a problem. Why is that a problem? Because, Shomeris Yavam Karisala, because you're calling her a Shomeris Yavam. She's awaiting her Yavam. But once he's intimate with her once, even promiscuously, since there's a priya for Zika, Ishtamalyasi, she's a full-fledged wife. So if the case is he cohabited with her, she's a full-fledged wife, you can't exclude her from drinking. Because she is under his dominion. Now, how do we know this? Dama Rav, because Rav holds. It's a machlokes. But Rav holds when a Yavam is intimate promiscuously with the Yavama, kana lakol. He acquires her in all matters. Means to say it's completely married. She's a full-fledged wife. So then how can you exempt her from drinking the waters? That's Rav's opinion. Look, it says, the Mishnah Yavama states that a Yavam acquires the Yavama even through an act of mistaken or promiscuous cohabitation. That's the halacha. In other words, there's such a strong Zika already. All that's waiting for is cohabitation. You don't have to make a whole ceremony. You should. Rabbanan, we say you should. But if you don't, it totally works. Now, Rav understands the Mishnah's meaning that although the act of Yavam was deficient, she becomes his full wife in every respect. Even though it was a promiscuous fashion. This is different than an Arusa. These are some of the practical ramifications. Let's see what it is. Let's say, in the case of a Kohen, If the brother, the first brother died, second brother is also a kohen, obviously. Now, when the first husband died, she can't eat truma anymore. But now that that the second brother is with her, so right away she may eat truma, even if she by herself is Yisrael's daughter. Also, he inherits her possessions upon her death. He may become tamei for her when she dies, even if he's a kohen. She drinks the bitter waters if she becomes a sota. He divorces her with a get, and there's no need for chalitza. So we see that a promiscuous act makes her, Rav learns, totally under his dominion. Even promiscuous cohabitation renders the Yavama completely married to the Yavama, according to Rav. So how can Rav Yonasan rule that she does not drink the waters? And you're going to say why? Because of the pasuk of Ishech. Well, why didn't we exclude her because the husband wasn't with her? No, we'll speak with husband was with her. If the husband's wins with her, then she should be able to drink. As a bona fide wife, she should be subject to the same laws as a regular nesua, regular woman. Although Rabbi Yonasan bases his view on a verse, it's illogical to interpret the verse as referring to a Yavama. It's because the verse must then be speaking of a Yavama who had already cohabited with her Yavama, in which case she's exactly the same as... In other words, either way, you got a problem. Rabbi Yonasan says, let's review it. Rabbi Yonasan says, a woman who's awaiting to fall to Yibum and is suspected of adultery is not given the waters to drink. He says, I'm telling you why. There's a specific verse that says, Ishech, that you have to be under your husband's dominion. She's not under her husband's dominion. Gemara asks, why do I need that pasuk? Just say because she never cohabited with him. And there's a special exclusion we already know. If you haven't cohabited with your husband, there's no question of drinking the waters. So what do we have to say? We must say that she did cohabit with the Yavam. But if she did cohabit the Yavam, then he's a full-fledged husband and wife, then he can't exclude her from being under the dominion. So it's a big problem. If according to Rav, Rav Yonasan doesn't make any sense. Remember, Yonasan is a Tana, and Rav's an Amora. Okay? So Rav Yonasan made the statement, he excluded her because of that word Ishech. Well, we got to say she cohabited with the Yavam. But if you cohabit with the Yavam, Rav says they're totally married. So you know how we're going to get out of it? There's a machlokas. Not everybody agrees with Rav. We just said, Rav says if the Yavam cohabits with her, he's like a total wife. But there's a shmuel in the world that argues with Rav, and that will be good for Reb Yonasan, because he'll make sense according to Shmuel. Kishmuel, because I don't like Shmuel, because Shmuel disagrees with Rav. He says if a man cohabits, the Yavam cohabits with the Yavama promiscuously, it's not in every way. Yeah, they're married, but not in every way. The Umar, he says, Lokana, he does not acquire her in every way, just in a few particular ways. Eladvar, Mamurim Baparsha, only in areas that are stated explicitly in the Pasuk of Yibum. All right? As regarding other matters, she's not considered his wife. She's not a full-fledged wife. And therefore, excluded. What is she considered? The Torah does not state explicitly that a deficient cohabitation affects Yibum. Rather, this is derived from the Torah's use of the words Yavama Yavala, Lakachala Isha, etc., as opposed to other words, since the efficacy of a decent deficient cohabitation is not stated clearly, Shmuel reasons that it must be limited to the laws according to that passage. There are two such laws. The Yavam inherits the property of his deceased brother. That he gets with a deficient intimacy and does not have to share it with his brothers. And if he divorces her, she does so with a get and a chalitza not required. Only in those two areas are they considered married. But they're not considered married for any truma. They're not considered married that he could be matame to her. They're not considered married in a lot of ways. Only in two specific ways of Yavam. But they're not really married. Oh, so I guess we're going to say it works according to Rav. It works according to Rav. Very good. According to Rav, they are still not considered, according to Shmuel, rather, they are not considered married, although they cohabited. You can't knock her out because the man cohabited with her before the Yavam, because Yavam did cohabit with her, but it's not considered under his dominion. So that will fit very good according to Shmuel. So now... Okay, I think that's a good place to stop because the next part's also complicated. But that's so far we're okay. Rabbi Yonasan will fit very nicely according to Shmuel, and we exclude a Yavama from drinking from Tachas Ishech, and we couldn't exclude because there wasn't intimacy, because there could have been intimacy, but it's still not considered under his dominion. But according to Rav, it wouldn't work. We'll stop over there.